And welcome to the Steakhouse on a Friday morning as we are rocking and rolling with Rusty Manziel.
Thank God it's Friday because you would not have that in you on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
You would not have them.
Well, we're doing our thing today. Lots to get to. Fastest 2 hours in radio. We appreciate you being with us as we take you through so many things going on in the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. So we appreciate you getting on that Odyssey app. The Odyssey app, obviously, the best place to listen to all our interviews. We've had a hell of a week. It continues today. We had Chipper. We had Snit. We had Buster Olney. Today we'll have Quinn Snyder.
Talking about flexing.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
You hear Chipper yesterday at all?
Yeah.
He was very entertaining, as always.
He's good.
And thoughtful.
Yeah.
Entertaining and thoughtful. That's what
what happens when you have the queen.
When you have the queen, exactly. Nobody says no to the queen.
They're like,
nobody says no to the queen.
Nope.
For sure. So, busy time here, absolutely, in Atlanta. And you got a busy weekend coming up. This is the Rusty Manziel Invitational of sorts.
I don't know that.
Right?
My biggest camp of the year. Company I've owned for 15 years. Grady Jarrett, Derek Henry, Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara. You name
all
it.
All have been through
David
there.
David Andrews. That's where I first met David Andrews as a 10th grader. Yeah, MVP camp's been going 15 years, something I started. I co-owned that with Chad Simmons. And, you know, it's grown into, you know, that's – this big. And
how many kids will be there this weekend?
300.
From all over?
Five states. Yeah. One of my best friends is bringing his son up from Charleston, South Carolina. A couple guys. And one of my buddy's sons, a sophomore, 6'6", 280. So we're going to find out this weekend.
So this is a chance for kids to be seen.
Yeah. And I like to phrase it as, listen, this isn't about the five stars. You know what I mean? This is like, hey, I'll give you an example. Kid named Landon Roldan. He's at Georgia right now. I didn't know who Landon Roldan was at this time last year. He runs 4.4 at my camp. And one of the coaches walk over to me and they go, hey, you see that kid right there? And I said, yeah. He goes, he just ran 4.4. And I'm like, white kid, kind of muscled up. I said, hey, man, what's your name? He said, I'm Landon from North Oconee. I said, okay. I said, you want to run that again while I'm watching? And he said, yes, sir. I said, take you a minute and breathe. I go get like three coaches over there. I said, hey, let's time this kid. I want to make sure we're right on this. He runs 4.4 on like 5 clocks. A month later, he commits to Georgia.
Wow. Great story.
I mean, I don't promise that to everybody, but.
But when you had Nick Chubb, wasn't he a 5-star?
No. Derrick
Henry. 3-star?
No.
Derrick Henry wasn't either?
I knew who Derrick Henry was, and I say this at every camp. I knew who Derrick Henry was. I did a camp at Dr. Phillips High School right across from Universal Studios in Orlando when I used to do regional. Derrick Henry walked in as a sophomore. And I'll say this, he had 50 offers in. Everybody in America knew who he was. My message to my coaches that I hire is, I don't care who it is. Whoever performs the best today gets the award.
Oh.
So Derrick Henry did not get the top running back award today. He worked his ass off. Nick Chubb came to one of the worst camps I've ever run. And the reason it was the worst camp I've ever run, too many kids showed up. We had like 600 kids. That was before I did pre-registration. I stopped after that day.
Right.
Nick Chubb stood in line about 2.5 hours.
So you were overwhelmed with kids.
Overwhelmed with kids.
600 of
them. We pulled it off.
Yep.
And after that day, I said no more.
Okay, so Nick Chubb is there.
Nick Chubb didn't get an award. He was running back.
Right.
Now, I will say this. I watched David Andrews and Grady Jarrett go one-on-one about 20 reps as juniors in high school. And those they talked about that documentary they did on them before the Super Bowl. They took some of those clips from me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. NFL Network just reached out to me this morning and wanted a clip of Travis Hunter promoting permission. I had Travis Hunter as a sophomore there.
How did he perform? Did he win?
He was freaky. So yeah, he got an award. Yeah, he did.
Did he?
He got an award.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I tell my coaches, I said, look, I don't care who it is now. I don't care how many stars.
It's just all day Saturday.
Sunday.
All day Sunday.
Yep. Yeah.
So are you, like, stressed leading up to this?
I always get a little tense as we get closer.
This week, because this is your big event of the year.
But I've cut it off. Like, I've learned, like, how many kids we can control and get reps and get your money's worth. I haven't went up on price since 2016. I want to make it affordable to the single mom that's trying to get her kid to a camp. I had a parent call me this week and said, I don't get paid till Thursday. And I said, ma'am, you know what? Bring your kid, and I'm going to let him in free. And I can't do that for everybody, but right. for her to take time to email me to say that, wow. I know what
the commitment is.
Yeah, I know. There was a kid named Jaquay Williams. A lot of Auburn fans know him. Jaquay Williams came to my camp one time, and I watched him have $35 and peel off 5 ones out of his sock. And I'm not saying that. That $40 is a lot to a lot of people. Now it's $80. But most of these camps are $150, $200. I don't want to go that route.
How many coaches will be there looking at these kids?
I can't have any coaches there. That's the value. You can't. Coaches
get the results.
We get the results.
So when you say coaches, you're talking about high school coaches running it.
I pay 24 high school coaches
to run it.
To help run it.
Okay.
And these are experienced guys.
All right.
Yeah. It's a big deal, man. But I'm proud of it. Proud of it.
Yeah. This is something you built.
Yep.
From the ground up.
Yep.
God bless. Well, good luck this weekend.
Yeah, man. Hold the weather off.
There's a few other things going on this weekend, though.
Is there?
Yeah, just a few. Well, we've got NCAA basketball tonight at State Farm Arena. The early game, SEC fans of Ole Miss see him take on the powerhouse that is Michigan State basketball over the years as Tom Izzo tries to get to the Final Eight. The nightcap is the big one. Auburn and Michigan, I think Rusty would describe them as blue bloods.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. SEC State, you talked about it a couple weeks ago, and it has stuck with me. I text a couple of my buddies, and they're all like, what? There's no way. The SEC win total was 20.5.
20.5.
They are currently at 17 wins going into tonight, the SEC. So Alabama now has 3. Florida now has 3. Auburn has 2. Kentucky has 2. Tennessee, obviously, they're going to play each other. You're going to get a win there at the SEC. But very fascinating. You would think.
They had the number down, though, dude.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
How close it was. They had 14 teams stake, and it was 20.5. How close they are.
I know.
That's insane, man.
Let me tell you, there's nothing more difficult than trying to figure out how to bet the NCAA. Real quick, also tonight, the other regional, Purdue and Houston at Lucas Oil Stadium. That's the nightcap, a early game, Kentucky and the Volunteers. Meanwhile, last night, Alabama fans listening to this radio station, can you have a better night rooting for your basketball team than what happened last night? An absolute rout of BYU.
Alabama is the most dangerous team left to me because they can absolutely – there's no defense for 25 threes. Now, are they going to do 25 – make 25 threes again? No, but Alabama can get hot. They're very dangerous. They're going to play Duke, which that's going to be a great matchup at 8:50 on Saturday night. Everybody look forward to that. But Mark Sears, 10 threes.
Bro, are you kidding me? They had 25 threes. They scored 113 points, 113-88. Let me tell you something.
That's Loyola Marymount.
The Boston Celtics aren't going to beat Alabama last night. They made 25 threes. They're on to the Final Eight. Meanwhile, Texas Tech beats Arkansas down 13.
Down 13 with 3:55 to go in the game. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to pretend to say I stayed up. It pisses me off those games are that late. But, yeah, it sounds like Cal had another one of those – late tournament moments.
He didn't foul when they were up by 3, which, remember, happened Memphis and Kansas in the national title game. But a huge win for Texas Tech. Duke and Cooper Flagg, if there was any doubt that he is a seminal talent, Cooper Flagg, 30 points, 6 boards, 7 assists. They don't cover, but they do win 193 over Arizona. They're down 18, Arizona, going a late run, cut it to 5.
Have you seen the special on him from the town he's from in Maine?
No.
Steak, this place don't have a red light. This place doesn't have a red light.
It's like Jimmy Chitwood in Hoosiers.
I'm telling you, like, how does a unicorn like this kid come out of that town to do this?
You see, when they played Boston College in
huge Celtics fans. His mom said they wore green every day of the year.
Well,
huge Celtics fans.
The entire state of Maine poured into that game to root for Duke. Like, that state is obsessed with Cooper Flagg. Florida, the Gators look awesome. A lot of Florida fans listening as well. 87-71 over Maryland. So now we get Texas Tech and Florida, Duke and Alabama.
I know that I was there and Georgia won. Hell of a win that night. But I watched Florida and how big they were and how athletic they were. Georgia had to shoot their absolute eyes out to beat them that night. And I'm telling you, I picked them to win the national championship. I've got Florida over Duke. I just think that Florida is too deep. But I love this Duke-Alabama matchup because if Alabama's hot again, that's what it's about. It's the way it should be going to the Final Four.
All right, the Braves, let's get to the most important conversation, which is opening day in San Diego where the Braves go down at the hands of the Padres.
Yeah, I don't like Hector Neros and his outing there yesterday. Gave up 3 earned runs in that one inning. Braves 0-for-7 runners in score position. Ozzie Albies hits a home run. He gets robbed a second time. But stat-wise, he goes 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Hey, listen, it's game one. I'm excited. Two things that worry me, bullpen and Bo. Another thing that worries me, Padres steal 5 bases in one game on rookie Drake Baldwin.
I don't know if they stole him on Drake as much as they stole him on the pitchers that were on the mound. He didn't really have much of a chance on any of
those. When they start stealing third, somebody's not paying attention. Yeah.
And he was making good throws. I don't know if there's anything more that he could have done. Now, hold your runners.
Yes.
You know, there were some small issues with the bullpen. I just urge everybody to kind of take a deep breath.
We got
7 games in a row. You're going to see plenty of Daysbell Hernandez.
Yeah.
You're going to see plenty of Pierce Johnson.
Yep.
Everybody's going to get out there, you know.
I tell you what, man, athletically, I don't know if there's a more athletic dude than Fernando Tatis. He gets on the base. That dude's a damn
if he would
rabbit.
Just hustle – out the box.
Yeah, man.
And do
about,
things the right way, that, man.
Yeah.
What a freak of a
Dude,
baseball player.
Crazy.
Obviously, the bullpen implosion with Hector Neros and giving up the lead and then, you know, getting the L. Grant Holmes actually goes an inning.
Crazy.
He pitches the 8th. Listen, I listened to Snit after the game. He said, we're going to stretch guys out. We got 7 games in 7 days. This no break after opening day, which is pretty rare. No break at all for a full week. They are going to wear out their bullpen. Hector Neros had only thrown 3 Grapefruit League games since they picked him up. I mean, they're putting this bullpen together, and that's going to be the concern for the first 7 games in San Diego and L.A. before you come home for the Marlins.
I mean, Braves fans will tell you that's going to be the concern all year with the bullpen. We'll see how it goes. But
well,
I'm not worried. Chris Sale, 29 pitches first inning. He had a couple of misses. But you see those glimpses of why he was dominant last year, some of the things he throws. I'm okay there.
Sale looked great. There's a lot of positives out of this game yesterday, you know, and the not hitting with runners in scoring position is just as bad as Hector Neros giving up 3 runs.
I agree. 0-for-7. Can't do it.
Could have broke the thing open, looked like early. Obviously, you loaded the bases. You got out of another deal.
Long season, man. Long season.
3rd inning, you had things cooking. He didn't really get the big hit. But, yeah, Riley hits the home run. Albies hits the home run.
Yes.
I mean, offense. Listen, that line, Jerks and Profar right out of the gate. Dude, this lineup, you will look up one of these next 3 nights, and we'll have a 12 spot on the board. I promise you.
By the way,
we're going to have one of those nights. Now, this is a tough pitching matchup tonight. But as this series moves along, they'll put up some big numbers.
The first 7 days are tough, man.
Yeah, it is, no doubt. This is one of your toughest road trips of the year.
That's crazy.
And it's happening. Again, you don't go back out there to play L.A. and San Diego. You'll go back out there for the Colorados and the Seattles and the San Franciscos, but you do not play the Dodgers out there again.
That's crazy.
I know. It's a crazy way to start the year. Anyway, Braves back at it as well. A couple of other quick notes. We will mention the portal. Silas Demery's leaving Georgia, right?
Oof. Not good.
Not good news.
Sounds like NC State. He declared for the draft, would left his options open. Sounds like NC State is really trying to bring him home.
Savannah Bananas, 9-9. What's the story? That is crazy ticket at Truist Park.
Yeah.
Crazy numbers. We'll tell you what those numbers are when we come back. You are not going to believe some of the things they're tossing around in terms of what people are willing to pay. Talk about a phenomenon. Lots more in the NCAA March Madness. How the SEC is having their moment, and it will not end. Quinn Snyder, 10 o'clock, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:23, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Rusty Menzel. Thanks so much for being with us. Busy morning. Quinn Snyder set to join us. I was remiss in not mentioning the Hawks. Did not have a good night in Miami. The Heat trying to fix their season. They beat the Hawks. 122-112. Trae Young, though, the stat on him, pretty remarkable. The youngest player in NBA history to get 12,000 points and 4,500 assists. They lose last night by 12. They got the Bucks Sunday at 7. Congratulations to Trae Young. Quinn Snyder joins us coming up. So couple of things to get to, or a lot to get to, and I promise you, SEC fans, listen, I just love to hear in this city, the absolute epicenter, the nexus of SEC conversation, right? I don't know where the headquarters are. Where are they now? They're still in Charlotte?
Birmingham.
Birmingham, right. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. We know there's more
SEC. They
got a
building over there. I'm not sure how much time they spend over there.
Right.
They're in Atlanta and Nashville so much.
Well, the SEC alum in this town, Alabama, you've got a basketball team that is one win away from the Final Four that hit 25 threes. You're in Atlanta tonight as Auburn. You're a number one seed. You'll have, I don't even know, 10,000 fans in there. It'll be like a home game for Auburn tonight. The Florida
you
game.
You want the average ticket price tonight?
Yeah.
Like $700.
$700. And that gives you the strip probably for Sunday as well. Yep. Sunday's ticket will be nothing because a lot of folks, half the folks will be leaving town. The Florida Gators are the best put-together basketball team in America now, right?
Depth.
So that's, yeah. Arkansas blew a 13-point lead. Otherwise, John Calipari is sitting in a Final Eight. So I know it's not going to be like an October game between Auburn and Tennessee. I know that. It's not college football. But what level of passion point does all this mean to you? What kind of campus energy? I was talking to my buddy who goes to Auburn, big Auburn guy. I was like, what's it like for you? Because we go to that building. It's like an NBA arena.
Yeah, dude,
he's there six times a year. Yeah, he lives in Atlanta.
They're all in. Alabama, too.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. The thought of growing up the way I did.
Same.
And the epicenter of college basketball runs through Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Gainesville, Florida, and Auburn, Alabama is crazy.
Well, the thought of Auburn and Ole Miss are this close to the Final Four, like those are.
I know, for you growing up.
I mean, it's like, what? Charles Barkley and who?
Yeah. They had one little run, really, Auburn. Ole Miss, I didn't even heard of. Yeah. Like Ole Miss, you want to talk about lack of conversation in the college basketball landscape, and yet it's all happening. It's happening because of NIL. It's happening because folks want to be in the South. It's happening because the athletes you see. It's happening because of towns like Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, Houston, these cities that, you know, just produce great basketball players. It's happening because Northeast kids want to come here. It's happening because of North Carolina players that want to go to the SEC, not the ACC, right?
Yep.
It's all happening.
Ole Miss head coach Chris Beard is from Marietta, born here, 1973.
That guy's a tremendous coach.
Did you hear him talking about? He's like, growing up, we didn't go to Morton's. Like, we went, if it's a treat, we went to varsity.
Right.
He's like, we're about to take these kids to, like, Morton's
right.
for team dinner.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's just a completely different level. Yeah. So I'm just curious if anybody wants to call talk about. I'd love to hear from him because I am trying to get a sense for what it means. And I know it means a lot, but man, oh man, if you sat down last night to watch this, which was a performance that you've rarely ever seen. 10 threes.
So when you see a player like that, this guy can scare you to death. And he's not the biggest dude, but if you give him any space, like I watched him last night coming off screens, if you don't fight over Nate Oates, the way Nate Oates schemes him up, if you don't fight over the screen and you try to go under the pick and roll, he will shoot your eyes out.
Right.
So, like, you
and his goal is the shot goes up in the first 10 seconds, right?
Yeah, oh, it's quick. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're fast.
They have all the algorithms. They've done all the math. And they said, if we get more shots up at this pace, you know, we only have to shoot this much.
They are Tennessee football.
Right.
They're trying to get as
many snaps
as possible.
Right.
They're trying to get as many shots and possessions.
Yeah, incredible. Meanwhile, Cooper Flagg just absolutely showcasing why he was the most talked about player. I mean, I've known about Cooper Flagg, obviously, for 3 years. You know, you heard about this kid out of Maine that has all the skills in the world, that's the number one player, that Duke's on him, Duke got him. Last night, you saw it, Cooper Flagg. Without him, they're not even beating Arizona. Here's what I can tell you from guys that bet on that game, Rusty. It was a 5.5-point first half number, okay? There's 20 seconds left of a tie game. These are guys that's like, dude, I got Duke in the first half. I saw it. Duke comes down and hits a three, and they're running clock, Arizona, end the half. There's 10 seconds left. They shoot it. a three a little early with 6 seconds left. They miss. It was tied with 20 seconds left. Yeah. You're giving 5.5. I had a text chain with the buddies. Cooper Flagg got
just
the ball.
Extra interest in that first half.
Just inside half court, hit a three at the buzzer.
It's amazing.
And they win by 6. The number was 5.5. You don't think Vegas knows? My buddies, I've never seen such celebration over text
y'all were
in my life.
Over text.
They
by
were
the
losing
way,
their
he,
mind.
By the way, he just turned 18. 6'9".
He is going to change an NBA town. I hope he's not in Washington with the Wizards. I hope he's not in New Orleans with the Pelicans. I hope he's in a real NBA town. Those are the favorites right now. It's like Zion.
It's a 16% chance he ends up in Washington.
Yeah, it's like Zion, except this guy will not be a bust. And Zion's not a bust. He's just not anywhere near what you thought. Cooper Flagg is going to roll into some city and be the biggest star the minute he hits town.
I was in New Orleans on a work trip the night they won the lottery pick. We were in a bar in New Orleans. People went nuts.
For Zion?
Well, they knew they were going to get Zion.
Right.
The same way.
That's what's going to be
nobody
like.
Nobody watched it last year. We were like, hey, the Hawks won? What? That's cool. Who we drafted?
Right.
The lottery pick this year, everybody
it's
will
be unbelievable.
Everybody
will
watch it.
You're 100% right. Totally different deal. Texas Tech down 13 against John Calipari in Arkansas. A ferocious comeback in the final 3 minutes. And then this in overtime. All right, you got the picture. A great program at Texas Tech. Devastating loss for Arkansas fans.
All you need to know with Texas Tech is they've got a gas billionaire. He just funded the NIL for every sport. His name is Cody Campbell. And Cody Campbell went out last year, and football had one of the top portal classes. Basketball, you do not want to have Texas Tech mentioned when you're in a battle.
Seriously.
And they went out and got, and Day-Day knows, they went out and got the number one pitcher from Stanford. They paid her $1 million, and she left Stanford, and she came to Texas Tech.
Wow.
If you're in a battle, and there's some talk about Silas Demery with NC State and Texas Tech.
Right.
When Texas Tech is involved, it's thank you, sir, may I have another.
So
because you're taking an L.
So as Texas Tech walks through the door, you just go, damn, we're out.
A bad dude, yeah. it's a bad deal.
Oh,
So I'll tell you this. Like, this is not a flash in the pan for Texas Tech.
Right.
They're here to stay.
They're not playing around.
Yeah. Louisville, $10 million.
They're for basketball.
Louisville is signing five starters. You think Fab Five got paid? These dudes are about to get real money.
Now, I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and be the old guy, you know, shaking my fist and saying what happened in the old days, because I think, you know, compensating kids is fine. I thought scholarships was a big deal also, but this is ludicrous. It's just,
It's professional.
It's not even professional because there's no governors. There's no salary cap. There's no even, you don't even attempt to have an even playing field. One guy just decides I'm going to outspend, outbuy everybody else. Or, you know, not every school has oil tycoons.
You think everybody sitting around right now that are juniors in high school, they're ballers going, damn, I hope I end up in Lubbock. Oh, by the way, that's a dry county. I hope I end up in Lubbock, Texas. That's the hers.
What do you mean it's a dry county?
You don't have
You can't drink at Texas Tech?
You can't buy. I don't even have.
Give me more info on that. Yeah.
So. I tell you what, man, I heard it's beautiful in Lubbock.
Listen, you're tired of hearing me, and I don't think I go off about it, but it is, you know, when you watch a college basketball kid in the tournament playing on a team, and it's his fourth team in 4 years, when you look at teams that just mass exodus, when, you know, like John Calipari, you told me, and we can hear him real quick as we go, we'll hear him when we go to break. Can we hear Calipari for a second here? Because he's got his own stuff he's dealing with. And they're already in the portal grabbing kids at Arkansas.
Let me tell you what they're doing. And they're not the only ones. They're already tampering.
Right.
No question.
I know Tom Izzo's upset that he's stuck having to be in the middle of
Sorry, Tom.
Huh?
Tom.
It's not like Michigan State's not going after kids right now, too, right?
He sounds like the same dude just griping about Game Day and Pat McAfee. Nobody cares, dude.
Right.
A great coach. I need you to win tonight because I got you.
Hey, when we come back, a lot coming in and going in Athens. We'll get Rusty's take on the Gunnar Stockton, Ron Puglisi deal. Is there one? And he talked about it on the morning show.
Oof.
There was a site in Athens that every Falcon fan should be worried about.
Oof.
We'll tell you what he's talking about when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. My name is Steak. That's Rusty. We're the fastest 2 hours in radio. And there's a lot going on. Rusty Rock's coming up. Quinn Snyder coming up. NCAA tournament coming up. Braves open their season. We got a regional in town. We got the, think about this weekend. The Savannah Bananas are like, I don't even know how to explain from a business perspective what was a cute little story as much as 4 years ago in Savannah, we were like, hey, if you go to Savannah, the bananas have a fun thing going on, right?
Go by, take your kids, go by and see that.
To a national stories on them. I think CBS Sunday Morning did a big piece on them. New York Times did a big piece on them. I mean, they've had unbelievable. And now when they roll into town, explain how over the top it is right now.
I have had more people ask me if I have any connections to Truist Park. And I go, I know Bo. Y'all want to give Bo a call? Are you working this weekend?
No, I'm actually going. We have softball all day Saturday, but I'm going to the Bananas game
How
on Sunday.
How pumped is your daughter for that?
Oh, yeah. They're all pumped. We got two of the kids. They're all pumped. Taking four girls with us.
So as an adult, and I'll ask for Steak because we're in the same boat if we got something like this, the alcohol sales for that day, I would imagine?
Oh, yeah. And there's stuff going on the Battery, at least on Sunday, at 11 a.m.
Did you do the Battery yesterday?
We were there, yeah. Great time. Nice crowd. About half full in the green space. I think roll in there to about 4:20. Just because I got off work about 2:30. Had to go all the way to Gwinnett, pick Olivia up from school. Then we had to shoot on over there.
So this was a family outing.
Yeah. As it is, most of the time when we go up to the Battery, that's
right. This wasn't I got a Thursday night off. Let's get down. Were people getting after it at Sport and Social and these other places?
Of course, yeah. Battery was packed, and the green space was about half full. Lots
the
of
game
room
was
still stretched
right?
out.
Is,
yeah.
is Walk-On's yeah. open yet there?
No, I have not even. I have not seen where Walk-On's is even going to be. Or
I forget
Shake
what
Shack.
Space they took over, but yeah, Walk-On's
was it maybe Mac McGee's?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Walk-On's, of course, the brand out of Louisiana,
Baton Rouge.
That was started out of Baton Rouge. That's one of the new additions to the Battery. So it was a good vibe down there.
Fun vibe.
I saw some on TV. Yeah, they were.
Weather was fantastic.
Yeah, weather was unbelievable. Yeah. So the Bananas roll in on. Did you say it's $1,000 for certain
tickets?
No.
Well, at times they were, but I just checked the prices. You can get in right now. I mean, the top level, which is like 400 level, it's like $200 a ticket.
Okay.
But lower level, it's like $295, $300.
It's just pure entertainment, and that's happening.
It is basically without. If you know anything about them, it is Harlem Globetrotters in baseball. It's entertainment.
Yeah, no,
so they're very skilled.
They totally get it. Is there going to be any Braves guys that step up and get at bats? I would imagine they do that in most cities.
Some old,
there might be
legends.
Some retired guys.
Yeah, so I mean,
Chip,
surprise
I
me
guarantee
you
Chipper's out.
Frenchie's taking place before when they were in Gwinnett. Frenchie came out there,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
I don't think Chipper's dragging.
Did you see who delivered the World Series trophy to the field yesterday and how they did it in L.A.?
Ice Cube, man.
Yeah. Ice Cube came out in an old-school Cutlass convertible on the field. Wow. Impala. Dude, it was balling. I hate the Dodgers. I'm telling you right now, the Dodgers are up there with Satan for me.
Yeah.
This dude comes out of the bullpen, drives down the field, and you talking about an L.A. moment?
Right.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Dude.
And he gets out. The trophy's in the passenger seat. Place went crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, awesome. Dodgers win, by the way, yesterday as well. They haven't lost yet. They had only two in Japan, I guess it was, and they beat the Tigers 5-4, saw the end of that game as well. The Big South, I think it's the Big that massive volleyball tournament is at the World Congress Center.
Great timing.
You're talking about thousands of kids, thousands of girls from all over the country. I'm just telling you, if you are an Auburn fan, you can't have a more beautiful day. Take a deep breath.
Head
downtown. Yeah,
the Auburn fan. It's the Michigan State. They're like, wait a minute, we're staying in Alpharetta.
Right.
Where is that? Is that close to Mercedes-Benz?
Just go downtown 3-4 o'clock. Go to Centennial Park. Go to the bars and restaurants around. I know we don't have, you know, it's not the Battery yet. They're getting there, but there's plenty going on.
Cool. Oh yeah.
That and again, you're not walking into a dome. You're going to have the greatest sight lines. Arena for basketball. You're going to be so happy tonight, those fans.
Have you seen the setup for Lucas Oil? It is not great.
Dude, I've been to so many games
not
in domes.
Great. Not great.
They're always bad. They have the makeshift.
They got the curtain up.
Yeah, no. And then they have the stands in front of the curtain that you roll in. No, it's there's nothing like having a Sweet 16 regional like we're going to get tonight, right? And getting that, you know, in an arena like State Farm. So that's going on this weekend as well. And obviously, Braves, real quick before we get to the tailgate. Braves yesterday, obviously, you want to win opening day, but it did feel – there was a buzz, man, when you turned your TV on.
Dude, I was at 4 o'clock.
I mean, I was so dialed in.
I was locked in.
And Jerkson Profar gets on right away, and you're like, here we go, man.
He had a great AB to start off.
And you're just like, thank God baseball is back. I mean, thank God that we're going to be able to turn on our TV 99% of the time and have a baseball game to watch.
Had that decision a couple years ago where I refused to buy a package.
Right, last year it was.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm not going back to
that. Separate of that, dude. Here's
what we are advantage, and I heard Andy talking about basically doing away with the Mariners when he moved here, and his brother's moving here, and he's like, you got to cut bait. This is the Braves. You don't understand how cool this is. We have an entire summer to go to one of the best family sporting venues in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Everybody tries to come here to copy this. Everybody.
So, listen, I told you, they're thinking about this. Premier League owners are like, how do we build something like this?
Yeah.
Is that still happening in Knoxville? I've heard rumors way. Definitely happening.
Dude, I went to the basketball game. They already got cranes and building. Okay. Oh, yeah, they're building it on the river.
Their own version of it, yes. On the river, right? Yep. Everybody's trying to copy what the Braves have. Yep. They'll be home next Friday. We'll have great Braves coverage next week. Remember, the Dodgers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Obviously, our radio station will be all over that. And then Friday night, the home opener against the Marlins. And we're not far away, obviously, from Spencer Strider and a little farther down the line, Ronald Acuna happening as well. But great to see the lineup kind of start to get going. Now 0-for-7 runners in scoring position. That's what hurt you yesterday. All right, still lots to get to from Athens. Let's do a tailgate. If there were a couple of overriding themes of what's happening in Athens for spring practice, anything jump out at you?
Yeah, I think the quarterback deal is kind of gotten sideways. Somewhere along the line, the narrative is this is Gunnar Stockton versus Ryan Puglisi. Every single rep, the job's depending on it. It's certainly not the case. Gunnar Stockton's in his fourth spring practice at the University of Georgia. He is the clear number one. He started. He's got some. He's taking the reins of that. Ryan Puglisi got hurt last year, I think two practices in. This is basically his first spring practice.
Yeah.
They love Ryan Puglisi. They think Ryan Puglisi.
But they will be recruiting all around him as well.
They're
going to
continue.
Five-star quarterbacks will be coming in.
The Jared Curtis deal. Everybody in America is talking about that deal. The number one quarterback in America. He's down to two schools. Oregon and Georgia on May the 5th. He has an entire NFL agent around him.
If you were standing in a Vegas casino, would you bet $500 or
today,
choose not to on Georgia? Yeah.
Today I'd say Georgia.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago I'd have said Oregon.
What happened?
Came to visit Athens. It's crazy what a quick ride down Millage Avenue at 4 o'clock does for it. No, I'll say this though: Ryan Puglisi. At some point, everybody's like, "Oh man, he can't do it." Ryan Puglisi is a freaking dude. But right now, it's Gunnar Stockton until it's not. And I'll say this too: you don't talk about what we talked about this morning.
Yeah,
because I'm getting blown up on X about it. The Saints roll up in here with their head coach Kellen Moore about 12 deep Tuesday night. They go to Chuck's. Our spot, you and I.
Enemy Chucks. Territory. Not an enemy team coming through New Orleans. Not just Kellen Moore.
The Philly stuff's cute.
Right.
Okay, that's a cute little theme. And, you know, Philly dogs, all that. You won't have no Georgia Saints, period. We don't need that happening. We don't need four or five guys.
So they were here Tuesday night.
Not only did they work out the top players, they worked every draft-eligible guy out on Wednesday morning. They watched film. I was told they were in the building about 3.5 hours.
So what are the rules for Kirby with any NFL team that wants to come in and do
that? Well, you have to set the boundaries. Like, you can't have your guys working out every single day. And it's also about those
guys,
about the agents. Mike said Nick Saban made a rule because they had so many prospects when he was there. He goes, all right, guys, y'all want to come down here? My guys are going to work out Tuesday this week. Fly your butt in here, and you can watch them. If not, you're not doing it. We're not working my guys out every day. I would imagine Kirby dealing with agents. That's the same deal. I ask if this is the norm. The reputation of the Saints are to do this, kind of have a private workout after pro day. The difference was assistant GM came and the head coach. And then you start talking about the connection to Philly with Kellen Moore. You don't think he didn't come back?
They're picking at 9 New Orleans.
Yeah, but they just didn't work out Jalen Walker. They worked out all of them.
Yeah, no, they're looking at the whole roster in terms of guys that go to the NFL.
Yep.
You know, everybody
you imagine Jalen Walker. They're talking. There's a lot of talk about Jackson Dart there. A lot of talk. He got mocked twice there this week.
What are you hearing about New Orleans, Bo? Nine's an interesting place where they landed.
They're in a really good spot. They're in a good spot. Take a great defensive player because they need it too, with an aging Cam Jordan on the line still, that somebody could kind of gain his tutelage. I'm not sold on Jackson Dart at nine. Yep. If you want to trade back and take the quarterback, fine. I don't think we've seen as much as Spencer Rattler has to offer. So I'd rather go somewhere else.
But how hot is that rumor getting about Jackson Dart landing?
It's not very hot. I think it's just mock draft, guys. I don't think there's anything around Saints camp that's saying, hey, we're all in on this.
So a couple of other quick notes.
That would be a big reach, too. He's been mocked around 23, 24 to go to nine.
You just need one team that believes.
Tebow
that
had he's one in, team.
That
he,
yeah. That
Denver.
Josh McDaniel and his group there. Draft. He does win a playoff game, by the way.
Has a hell of a throw.
Yeah. Hey, Silas Demery, we mentioned earlier, he's Georgia's second best player last year.
Sounds like Sumpto, the 7-foot center, sounds like he's staying from what I hear, but obviously you know he's got options. Sounds like as of this morning, Blue Kane sounds like he's going to stay. He has options. So
listen, it's trying to hang on for dear life to as many of your kids as you can. Damon Stoudemire going through the same thing at Georgia Tech. The portal is open for business. And if you don't think people are like, listen, all due respect, Georgia, that's adorable. Stegman Coliseum. And, you know, I know they're committing to basketball, but we're already there. Right.
Yeah.
And if you want to know if we're there, just look at the teams that are left and are going to keep playing through the SEC. And it's not just the SEC. The ACC, obviously a personal affront.
No Cinderellas.
To see what happens.
No Cinderellas.
No, these are the big boys. Listen, we talked about the mid-majors, too. Mid-majors are in big trouble. You can't put together one of those older teams anymore.
No.
They used to be able to put together an older team of 20-something-year-olds.
Drake had four transfers and went as far as they could. They had four transfers from the Division II national champions. Good run, and they got big boyed in the end.
Also, Georgia with a scrimmage this weekend, which actually looks a little more real. Not looks, we won't see it.
Yeah, G-Day will be a really scripted type deal. G-Day is not on TV. Radio will be there. I'll be there with Dogs HQ covering it. But I will say this weekend, the people that follow Georgia football every day, this is the big boy scrimmage of the spring right here. There'd be no holds barred. Kirby on the mic. And
so what's fair game? Everybody's going to the ground except the quarterback?
Everybody but the quarterback. Won't be any kind of live special teams, but every single play on tape, everything. Like, you're 3 weeks in. It's time to show me who you are.
Yes, big opportunity for some kids to showcase themselves, right?
I'll tell you this. I've heard those wide receivers.
That's what I'm anxious.
I heard Zachariah Branch from USC. Money well spent.
How fun would it be when you have Ole Miss, Texas, and Bama coming through there, if all of a sudden Gunnar Stockton and this passing game starts to feel themselves, and you start to see 70-yard plays downfield, guys catch and run 50 yards, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, we've seen a lot with Kirby, but we've never seen this kind of explosiveness. Because I think it would just make it would just be an angle we haven't seen out of Georgia football really in the whole Kirby Smart era with that group of receivers.
Well, Stetson Bennett and them got rolling in 22 with AD Mitchell and all those guys. Yeah, Brock Bowers and all those guys. But I just think the home schedule, and I'll say this too, real quick. If you want to take your family to see the University of Georgia play, kudos to Georgia having a spring game. It's $10 to get in, because I'm telling you right now, you look at the schedule and you start talking about Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, Kentucky, and everybody coming to town, that's not a mama loves you ticket.
That's not a big boy ticket. That's not my. They still call them secretaries in the office. Yeah. Say, that's not, hey, I know you'd like to go to a game. Let's give it to my secretary and her family.
Give her four tickets in the parking pass this weekend.
I think they're called executive assistants or things like that.
My phone blew up the day after we talked, by the way, I bring it up. The bronze bracket on Sunday, travel baseball. My friends were blowing me like, dude, if we ever get in a bronze bracket again, I'm out of here.
There's nothing worse than daddy hungover from Saturday night, and you lose your early game, 9 a.m., and now you're told, you got to sit in the hot sun for 5 more hours. You're playing in the bronze game at 2:30.
The worst case is to win the 9 a.m. Sunday morning bronze game, and you have to wait till 4 to find out who comes to the other side. The Celtics, the Rockets, and the Dodgers are playing, and you got to play the winner at 4, and you can't leave.
I was going to say, and if you leave, then you can't get invited back.
That's right.
There's some Sundays in Chattanooga and Franklin, Tennessee.
Lake Point.
Orlando.
On that turf in Lake Point, Emerson. Hey, quick shout out. Knox Langley, eighth grader at Athens Academy, my good friend's son. He hits a baseball out of the high school field. What I was told this week.
What?
The coach has been there for 10 years and never seen it.
Eighth grader
left-hander. I got it on tape. Knox Langley, shout out, my man, Athens Academy.
I got to see
that. He straight pipes one.
I got to see
out
that.
Into the trees.
Head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Quinn Snyder, talking NCAA tournament experiences, his own. Also, Little Hawks as well. Sports
I got
radio.
A question for Quinn.
92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:02 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. How's everybody doing in Atlanta, Georgia on a Friday morning? Rusty Rocks had the Queen in all week. I had Drew on Monday. All is right in the world. You know, we get older. We're a creature of habit. If our routine is thrown off at all, you know, if I don't have my pen. Like, I'm not drinking coffee this morning, right?
No, you got it.
Because I got this.
I'm about to go get you one.
I got this. I'm strung. I'm a little high strung this morning. So I'm having this cardio test, which I guess is in the last year or two. They take pictures of your heart, your valves, your artery, to see arteries. If you have any blockage. It's a great way to know how you are if you have a little high blood pressure or any blockage. It's a great way to predict heart attacks way in advance and cut them off at the pass. Brand new technology. Anyway. My doctor recommended it. It's a test that's incredibly effective for showing if you have blocked arteries. But I don't get my coffee this morning.
Trust me, this is the first time I've been around you in a while without coffee.
I'm a little jittery. And there's all these things going on in town, right?
Man,
you got NCAA. You got Braves opening day.
MVP
you got,
camp.
You got the Savannah Bananas. You got your camp. And then we get to talk to the head coach of an NBA basketball team.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right? Is he ready to rock and roll? He's Quinn Snyder on the middle of a road trip. He's not even in Atlanta this week, and he joins us on Sports Radio 92.9. Coach, good morning. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, guys. Doing okay, thanks.
It's a weird time of year for a NBA fan. You know, the playoffs last for months. We've been watching you guys for, I don't know, 4 months now. I mean, I know you're playing for seeding and everything else, and I'm not saying you like losing in Miami last night, but I call it the dog days of the NBA. I mean, how do you get these guys keep the motor running? I know you can do it for the playoffs, but does it start to feel a little long for everybody by this time of the year?
You know, I think there's two times where you get some of this, and you just kind of the other one's like late January, and you're kind of waiting for All-Star break or anticipating that. And then right now, I think some of it's just, as you mentioned, you know, there's so much enthusiasm about the playoffs. But I think the thing for us is obviously, you know, we're in a position where we're probably not going to be one of the, you know, the sixth seed. And then you're looking at the rest of the play-in tournament, so to speak. And what can we do to give ourselves the best opportunity, you know, to come out of there as a 7 or 8 seed? And really the thing that we've tried to stay focused on is just improving. And I think we've got a team because of, you know, we've almost had 3 or 4 different iterations of the same Hawks. You know, we don't have Jalen Hunt, CC, Bogey, a lot of these guys that we started the year with. And the reason I mention that is because some of the new guys that we have and some of the young players that we have that I think have gotten better, the challenge is to continue to try to come together and raise our level. And I think that's, in addition to the actual seating itself and home court and those things, I think that needs to be our focus. Because as you said, such a different variance in competitiveness. Miami went through a huge, really tough stretch, and you know, they're playing well. You know, we're going to play a Knicks team coming up that's playing well. And then we've got some other games that are actually tough games, but they're very different games.
Yeah. Quinn Snyder, head coach of the Hawks, joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coach, I always talk about the NBA's the top athletes in the world. I do football for a living. I cover it, and I see it from, you know, youth up. But when you go see an NBA game and you see how athletic these guys are and how big, they're truly one percentile athletes. Saying that, Dyson Daniels every single night has to guard the best player on the other team, always a super freaky athlete. Tell me why, and I'll tell you my agree with it, why he should win the Defensive Player of the Year, because every single night he has the toughest draw.
You know, I think it's a no-brainer, to be honest with you. And you hear a lot of the different arguments, and I can give you a few more, but I'll comment on what you said, which I think is something that's really interesting and something that I haven't maybe given as much weight to. You know, rim protectors are help defenders for the most part. And, you know, you don't see those guys having to guard one-on-one on the post. There just isn't that much post-up basketball anymore. In Dyson's case, to your point, he's got the best player on the floor every night. And, you know, it was hero last night. And one of the things that when you watch us, it's interesting because teams spend a lot of time on offense literally trying to get him off that guy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like they're basically saying,
run screen, run screens, run interference, run whatever you can to get him away from the ball.
Get him away from the ball.
Yeah.
Play pick and roll and have him switch onto someone else. So they're actually trying to avoid him.
Mm.
And so now he is off the ball. And he's managed to still be effective in all those situations. But, you know, the fact that the steals things are just ridiculous, guys, right? I mean, what he's doing, stealing the basketball.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Well, just explain that for a second. I try to say, dude, the Dyson Daniels steal numbers are just ludicrous. Forget about deflections, which is a whole nother ridiculous stat.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's almost too many high watermarks to go through them all.
Right.
I can't remember them, you know. Most in 30 years, most by any, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've never seen a disruptor on another side of the court where you game plan like you just said. I was like, dude, every time I go watch him live, it's like he's in the middle of every single possession. He's wreaking, wreaking havoc for the other team.
No, he finds ways when they're avoiding him to include himself. Here's one thing that I don't think people are as aware of is there's a stat they call stocks. And what it is, it's real simple, it's steals and blocks. So not only does he lead the league in steals, he leads the league in steals and blocks combined. So whoever the block shooter is, they're not stealing the ball. Our guy is stealing the ball, and he's blocking shots. The last time someone did that as a guard, it was Michael Jordan, just to put it in a little bit of perspective.
God.
Yeah, back in the
– Wow.
You know, back in the 80s.
Yeah,
Quinn, you know?
Quinn Snyder with us. As we talk awards, do you think Zach Risacher should be Rookie of the Year?
You know what? If people voted in December, you know, the answer would have been no. The answer would have been he's having a really good season. What he's done, I think, is unbelievably significant because he's still 19. Like, he hasn't turned 20 yet. And the way that he's tracked, the way that he's finishing, the biggest thing with Zach that's different than the other rookies is he's playing on a team that's competing, you know, and it's going to be a postseason team. That's unique because he's not playing as many minutes at times. It's not about just his development. It's about his development within the context of the team and how can he help the team win. And what we're seeing is his numbers and his efficiency continue to track up, and he's responsible for winning. Now, in some, you know, he's also responsible at times when he doesn't play well and we don't win, which is a whole nother layer.
Well,
a
few of our hosts were fired up the other day, because they want to see him in there. I think it was the Houston game. You put him; he wasn't playing in crunch time, or you know, you don't play him all the time in that scenario. You know, the fans are like, "Dude, that's our guy. That's our rookie. Why is he not out there all the time?"
Well, you know, I'm playing the guys that I think can help us win the game at the end of the game.
Yeah,
and this is one of the great This is the interesting thing about our team, because, you know, what do we want to do? Do we want to develop our young guys and not worry about winning? Or do we want to win and not worry about developing our young guys?
I want to do both at the same time. I want to win with our young guys.
Oh, by the way, he's 19.
Yeah. No, I know.
By the way, he's still 19.
So finding how that intersection occurs. And the good thing about Zach, you know, is that's been happening. And, you know, when you have someone that's shooting the shit out of the ball, pardon my language, and he is too, you know, it's easy. But there are nights when he looks 19 and he's working through that, and I think he has finished the last couple of games, you know, in a row. And the development component for us is happening, guys. We start three guys that are in the 19 or the early 20s. That's just not happening out there. And I think the big thing for Zach is playing minutes, and he's up 25, 30 minutes a game.
I think it'll be awesome. Let's get out of the 7-8, get to a playoff series. A 7-8, we're going to be in the series in that scenario. And let him feel like a Cleveland or Boston matchup on the road and 18,000 people in playoff basketball, because that's totally different. So let those young guys at least feel it tangible how different playoff basketball is, not just one game or two games.
And that is the intersection that we talked about. And I think Zach has to feel some of the physicality, and he always responds to that. You know, he always responds to that, and that's been, you know, an impressive thing, because, you know, he's going to gain weight. He's going to get stronger. But no amount of protein shakes right now can get him to, you know, 225.
I don't know if you've heard.
That's going to happen later.
Yeah. Rusty Rocks is a segment we do later on in the show. But, Rusty, you want to ask him about his old music?
David Coach, let me ask you this. You get a rare afternoon in the summer, and you're sitting on a beach somewhere. You may or may not have a cooler beside you, and you get to play some music. What you got? What are you listening to? What is in your zone, and nobody can mess with you at that moment?
Well, first of all, I'll preface this by saying you guys haven't got the memo that I don't talk about my personal life, whether it's on the radio or in print. But what I will tell you is I enjoyed the new Bob Dylan movie very much.
I've heard that's great. I need to see that.
Great piece.
It's really good.
Not exactly beach chill music, but I don't see you chilling on the beach too. I don't know if you can relax.
I got a little of that too. Yeah, I haven't been on the beach a lot lately.
Yeah. When's the last time you ran hoops? Or you ran? Is there a game that you still participate? I think about your buddy at Duke, John Shire, and everybody talks about how he can still ball out. When's the last time you actually ran a game?
I'm almost 20 years older than him.
I know.
So
you can still shoot a spot up three, though. Everybody's got to shoot a spot up three every now and then.
I can still play a little bit every now and then, but I don't. I do in the privacy of my driveway.
When's the last time you were in a gym?
Oh,
running?
I stopped playing skate. Long time.
20 years ago?
Close to 20, yeah. When I was in the D League, I was playing one on one against a guy named Justin Bowen, and I hit him with a really good jab step and rolled my ankle and could barely put my shoe on for the game. And at that point, I was like, you know what?
Business decisions.
If you looked around and see how many coaches like blow their Achilles tendons, and because people get out there and you get competitive.
Right.
And then, you know, you try to do stuff you just can't do anymore. So I need to, it's too bad, because it's probably still the best workout, you know, where you're not thinking about it the whole time.
I was going to say, there's only a few things in the world well, you're sweating like crazy and having the most fun you could ever have. That's why
it's a great game, right, guys?
It's the best. Big guy like me, though, that was why. I mean, I know that the JCC is pretty close to the ACC, just one letter.
Yeah, right.
JCC, ACC. Yeah. But I'm like, I've played for 40 years. I said, you're going to blow an Achilles or a knee, and you never had it. So I hung it up, and I know that hurts you to hear, but I did hang them up about 5 years ago.
Well, the best pickup games where I grew up in Mercer Island were at the JCC, so I'm familiar.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate
Quinn Snyder.
Coach.
Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. See you.
There he is, the head coach of the Hawks on Sports Radio 92.9. Rusty Rocks, buy or sell, the absolute killer segment coming up, Sports Radio 92.9. /10:24, Sports Radio 92.9, the game. We're on a heater, the sports talk radio station, and I say that because our program director is about to play by herself. What do we call it? Program manager? You're a manager. What's the official title these days?
I think my official title is brand manager.
Brand manager. You're the brand manager. That's who you are. And he doesn't like to talk about numbers, but, you know, I'm the obnoxious on-air guy that still, you know, loves to beat the competition, especially ones that, you know, Lux and Bagel do. But, boy, we are crushing lately this station. So well, thanks to all the listeners.
Thank you, listeners. Yeah, thank you, listeners, for the support.
It's nice to be when you see number one and number one and number one on a regular basis for all the shows that's been going on. So, listen, I think it speaks to the time of year it is, the way you trust the hosts, the diversity of opinions that you get every single day on the station, and then live and local at night, and then the home of the Hawks, home of the United, home of the Falcons, and we're getting all the March Madness games, Westwood One.
I
love hearing that driving around.
Yeah, the game's played in Atlanta tonight. You're going to hear on 92.9 the game. And I think that's really cool. And you're right. I mean, sometimes we can't be in front of our TV at all times, as much as we try. So if you have to commute tonight or if you're going from one party back home or something, we got you covered.
Bo can speak to this. Day-Day can, and I can, and Rusty can as well. When you have kids, your weekend is basically you're a chauffeur, right? You're driving a limo. It's not a limo.
Dude, I heard Mike Johnson talking about spring break next week.
Yeah.
You talking about the death in his voice, talking about going to Disney for a week. This guy would rather be going to – what was the Bear Bryant Texas A&M when they did the boot camp?
When they had 100-something kids.
He would rather be doing that.
Well, my point is I'm always
– yeah, Junction Boys. Yeah.
The Junction.
That's what Mike Johnson would rather Junction.
But I listen to more play-by-play. I did a whole thing about when I listened to Wes and Dave did an entire Falcons game where I had to be at a Bobby soccer game an hour and 20, hour and 20 back, watched a little bit of my screen. But I love listening to sports on the radio. And that's, as dads, we're doing it all the time.
Odyssey app is the best app, period.
Yeah.
You can go right to the chapter you want to hear.
If you wanted to hear Chipper this week, if you wanted to hear Snit this week, great stories. And anyways, all right, so we're going to play by ourselves, but – have you ever sat here for Rusty Rocks? Think once or twice.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I had a little sneak preview of this
a moment ago. I had to ask him.
Yeah.
Oh. If he remembers. Another one of those things that just come to me this week. I'm on TikTok. My algorithm pops up, and I guess it's because it's the anniversary. Actually, Steak, it was March the 25th, 1983. Motown's 25th anniversary concert on NBC in 1983, Michael Jackson moonwalked for the first time. And I remember watching it.
It was
it
a seminal moment, more so in I wouldn't even say Michael Jackson's career, because he's had a million of those in television. Like, that was a TV moment.
I would love to see
everybody remembers.
I would love to see the viewers. So it happened on March 25th. 1983, it was aired May the 17th, so it was a little bit deal. But I remember watching it and thinking, what did that – every kid at Pepper Elementary the next day was trying to do that in their vans. It didn't work.
Do you know how many people have tried to do that since
I spent a whole summer trying it.
That must have been something.
Well, yeah, especially when I had like 13 feet in them third grade.
Yeah.
I had canoes. Anyway, so here it is. I've got a self-imposed penalty this week for my Rusty Rocks title. It's Michael Jackson songs, but I didn't take the easy way out, Mike. Can't have anything from Thriller.
Okay.
And I'll give you a stat about Thriller at the end of this. Hold that thought. But cannot be off the album Thriller, because that's easy. You could get five songs easy. Number five, great song from 1991. The Michael Jordan was in this video with him. Remember, he was slammed doing all the videos, Bugs Bunny from the movie?
Yep.
And they made this jam, 1991. I started to go with a couple different songs. This was a little different. That was a little different song from him. He's kind of stepped out. I really liked it. Number four. This was a number one song from 1987. Dirty Diana. Great video. Another MTV video. Little different vibe than he had put out before.
Very different sound than we were used to from Michael Jackson, right?
Number three.
By the way.
This is number one off bad.
What is Dirty Diana meaning? It was not about Lady Diana. It was about a certain kind of girls that hang around concerts of clubs known as groupies.
Yes.
That's what that was about.
A lot
about.
Of Dirty Dianas. Still in business. Past the four seasons this morning. Number three, don't stop till you get enough. Off the Wall. This was a number one hit in 1979. Also, it was in Rush Hour. Remember Chris Tucker's dancing to this? They're in the parlor massage place, and he starts dancing. It's awesome. Number two, I like this song. Probably people think maybe like this is not number two. I loved it. Still think it's one of his best ones. Man in the Mirror.
Absolutely.
Great song, dude. I got to tell you, it's an emotional song. Yeah, you're driving by yourself.
Yep.
Depending where you are in your life.
Like a Sunday night, you don't want to hear this when everything's resetting on Monday. I'm getting my life together.
No, there. I've taken
I'm not betting anymore.
I've taken a few rides where either I put it on or I was like, wow, that's prophetic.
I got to get it. I'm getting right.
Stinky gets a little emotional sometimes you hear that song.
Number one, classic, man. Rock with you, 1979. Number one hit for him. I think this is kind of his introduction to, like, I can do this. I'm a solo.
Right.
I'm solo.
His post-Jackson 5 career really began with
this. This is it.
Yeah.
1979. Let me give you some stats. Thriller. The reason I didn't do Thriller, it's the number one selling album of all time. Interesting fact. Only had two number ones. Billie Jean and Beat It. Only two number ones off that. His Bad album had five number ones on it in 1987.
Wow. Not even close to as good an album. Not
top
even close.
Five selling albums of all time. I had to look last night. I was curious. Number five. None of us would have guessed this. Number five, Meatloaf, Bad Outta Hell, 1977.
No.
Number four, we'd have got these in an order. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, interesting. AC/DC, Back in Black.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Eagles' Greatest Hits album.
Yeah, I thought that was number one.
Number one selling album of all time. Thriller.
Right. So Thriller and the Eagles, top two all time.
Yep.
That's Rusty Rocks. Let's play Buy or Sell. Trey Young sets that mark last night. Is he a better scorer or a better passer? Buy or sell? Is he a better passer than he is a scorer?
Buy. Absolutely buy that. One of the best passers I've ever seen in person.
Yeah.
I mean, he does Maravich stuff.
One of the greatest passers in NBA history.
Yes, buy. Absolutely.
Plain and simple.
I buy, and I wish he had another guy that he could throw a lot more passes to.
Yep.
We're working on it.
I think they're getting there.
I hope so.
Buy or sell, Fettuccine Alfredo has simply had its day.
Oh, I buy that 100%. I've never been a fan of Fettuccine Alfredo.
It's just... I feel like it's like 25 years ago. Somebody orders fettuccine. You want a bite of a fettuccine Alfredo, you don't want a plate of it.
I'll just put it to you this way. My noni never served this fettuccine Alfredo. She served this red sauce, and we liked it.
MLS should stop adding cities. Buy or sell?
I'll sell that. I think there's still some cities, that, especially in the upper Midwest, like Detroit, Indianapolis, that could really help the league grow.
Buy or sell Cheese Whiz and a cheesesteak?
How about?
He doesn't get to do everyone. Okay, this is from Mike Connie.
Yeah,
you know?
Good. Go ahead.
And we're late, so sorry. Cheese Whiz.
He hadn't had coffee this morning.
Cheese Whiz and a cheesesteak.
The only way to do it. Buy.
Wow.
Sell.
I know, I guess.
Ritz cracker.
Still love the Globetrotters. Before there was the bananas, there was the Globetrotters. Buy or sell. Still love them.
Buy it.
Buy or sell.
They're fantastic. Yes. Buy. They're great in person.
ABC Wildwood Sports' best broadcast all year was when they had the Globetrotter.
Yeah, when Cosell would be courtside, they'd throw a bucket of water on him.
Canadians are nicer people. That's not just hype. Buy or sell. We've covered a bunch of games there over the years.
Canadians are nicer. I would have bought that until very recently. I had a not-so-great experience in Montreal a couple weeks ago.
Buy or sell. I used to do tire supply from one guy in Montreal.
Wasn't good to you?
No.
Braves' biggest rival in the division is the Mets now. It's not the Phillies. Buy or sell. Mets are our biggest rival in the division.
I would sell. I still think it's Philly.
Me
after
too.
What they did, stared our shortstop down, punked him out.
Yeah.
The second best player on the Hawks is Dyson Daniels. Buy or sell? The second best player on the Hawks.
Well, when healthy, it's Jalen Johnson, so I would sell. Currently, I think
Jalen ahead of Dyson. Yeah.
Sell, I agree. Jalen Johnson.
The NBA likes the LeBron. Well, hear this. The NBA likes the nastiness. Buy or sell?
Buy or sell?
You think they like it?
They can't buy enough of that. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Masters best televised broadcast in all of sports. The Masters best television broadcast in sports. Buy or sell?
Sunday at the Masters, I'll buy.
Buy or sell?
Wow. New Year's Day at the Rose Bowl would
be
up there. I'll buy it. It's a sensory overload.
You know what you're getting. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Broadcast the Super Bowl is pretty freaking good, too. Yeah. But, I mean, Masters right up there. The Oreo is the finest mass-produced cookie brand in history. The Oreo is the gold standard. Buy or sell?
Sell. Chips Ahoy.
Oh. You hurt me with that. The Oreo is the greatest mass-produced cookie of all time.
I'm going to sell it, too. There was a Keebler brand called Soft Batch.
Yes.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes. Lord, I used yes. To love Lord, that. I'd smoke a cigarette after a pack of those. Lord have mercy. Dude.
How about, like...
Hit me in the heart.
Those Pepperidge Farm ones count, like the Sausalitos
yeah,
and those others?
Count. Those are great, too.
Pearl Jam, buy or sell?
I'm buying. Mike knows I'm buying the hell out of that.
Yeah. Coming
I'm
in.
Trying to buy an Odyssey box.
They're doing like
they're two nights here, and then they go to Nashville the next week.
Buy or sell Pearl Jam?
Buy. Lots of great vibes.
Great. Here, I have Andrew Saltzman and Yes explaining. They're doing four cities, right?
Yeah.
Four or five cities?
I'm going to Atlanta one of them. Nashville. I'm going to both.
That's buy or sell. Thank you, sir.
It's great seeing you guys.
Great to have you.
Fade to Mike.
We'll play a little Three Strikes. We come back. Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 10:44, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is Steak and Rusty getting ready for a big Atlanta weekend. Braves lose opening day. It felt big. It did feel big. It feels like that's a great market. San Diego, you know, that's the whole deal, man. That baseball team, they don't have an NFL team anymore.
It's unbelievable.
They don't have a basketball team. They used to have the San Diego Clippers. They used to have the San Diego Chargers. They don't have a hockey team. San Diego State is not exactly, you know, prolific. I know they do University of California, San Diego, whatever it is. Like, the Padres are huge. They hate the Dodgers so much. And it's, you know, it's not a great rivalry because of what the Dodgers are about to do to separate themselves. But it did feel like, I don't know how Bo felt looking at it. I know, Rusty, you're watching it.
It
just felt like big atmosphere in San Diego, especially the way they eliminated us last year. I don't know. Certain sporting events you turn on, and there was like a buzz yesterday watching that game. So,
yeah, the crowd. Did you see the crowd for that thing and how the stadium, they incorporated that old warehouse as part of and it was like
quarter.
There was no standing room. Me and Bo were just talking about it. They were saying no standing room in anything. Like, I mean, it just looked great on TV and just the feel of it. It's almost like
A pretty cool brand in terms of gear, Padres, right?
Yep.
Pretty cool gear
logo.
These days. Yeah, cool logo and everything else. Anyway, they're the big game of the night is tonight. Talk about the matchup tonight, Rusty. Game two brought to you by John Foy and Associates.
9:40 tonight, Ronaldo Lopez versus Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease, another, you know, big timer. So I think just from a Vegas standpoint, it's probably an even game. Our advantage, I think, starts to come
together.
Money
line, Braves are +110. The over-under is 8.5 in the game.
Okay, so Padres a little favorite. Chris Sale was a small favorite yesterday.
Yep.
It's a tough game tonight as well. But you're going to look up. I hope it's in L.A., and you're going to be like, oh, Riley hit a couple. Albies hit one out. Jerkson hit one. Olsen hit one. We got a 5-home-run game. It's coming on this, I think, on this road trip. At some point, we're going to bust out.
Oh, yeah.
But let's get a dub tonight. So opening night didn't go exactly how we wanted. Let's see how it plays out. Let me give you some Three Strikes questions. The album that you have played more than any other in your life.
Wow.
That you have played. So doesn't have to be your favorite. Doesn't have to be the most memorable. Just the one that has played by virtue, by hook or crook. Second is, how long is too long to drive for you? You mentioned Mike Johnson and Spring Break. Is there a number, a threshold? Now, again, there are exceptions. Now, you're crazy. You've done everything in the world. You've driven.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that have a number in their head.
I'm less than 10.
New Orleans is 8.
I drove to Indianapolis for the national championship.
How long was that? 8?
About 9.
Yeah, that's a big number. I got a buddy, my buddy Dino. I don't know if you met him. He's in Jersey. His kids are at Clemson. And was it Georgia? And he's one of those, what do they call it? We were talking about the other day. it was a TikTok thing or something. It's called Raw Dog It, where you just get on a plane and you don't have any, you don't listen, you don't read,
dude,
you stare at
no
the
way.
Screen.
No way.
But my buddy's like, he'll be like, yeah, man, I drove to Nashville. It's like, what? Got up at 7 a.m., went 15 hours straight through, pulled in around 11:30. I was like, dude, that sounds like a miserable day.
I'm not driving to Green Bay.
No, I ain't riding.
I'm not driving to Green Bay.
What's yours, guy's number? Do you have a number in your head too long to drive?
I'd say anything more than 10 hours for me.
I think if you get into double digits, you're in a bad place.
Yeah. I go 8 to 9 on a yearly basis just driving my folks' house.
Yeah.
So I can do 8 to 9 with the 4 hours. I'll stop after 4 hours.
When I went to Sugar Bowl and drove back, down and back, I mean, it's okay to New Orleans. It's about 7.
It's only 7?
You can hammer it.
You can do New Orleans in 7 hours.
Yeah, New Orleans is a nice little 7 hour
drive. I've done
it
in 6 and a half.
No, for real?
Oh, yeah, dude.
So if I want to see my baby at Tulane and I wake up one morning.
You can get off the air at 11 and you'll be eating dinner by 7 p.m.
And it's a sweet drive.
Plus, you gain an hour on the way over.
Plus, you gain an hour.
And it's a sweet drive.
But listen, you're the Delta man, so they're waiting for you at the airport.
I mean, you got your
hold
picture
up, steak's
all over.
Pulling in.
Let's say your voice is in the airport.
Steak's pulling in.
Finally, the cookie or snack that reminds you of your childhood. The cookie or snack that reminds you of your childhood. I'll say the Yodel, the Ring Ding. You ever heard of the Drake coffee cake growing up?
No, I have not. That's not about Asta.
You have a Yodel?
I've never heard of a Yodel.
Ring Ding?
No.
What do you have? Moon Pie?
An RC Cola and a Moon Pie.
What else was a snack in the house growing
up? My grandmother made a thing, and everybody, all my family members, my grandmother made a thing called Chocolate Delight, and I'm telling you right now, it cost me from going from a wide receiver to a pulling guard. I'm telling you.
I was running routes
in junior midgets.
I was running 20-yard outs, and then next thing you know,
she introduced
I was hitting
me
a sled real
Chocolate
hard.
Chocolate Delight, and I was a nose guard wearing a neck roll.
You had a neck roll.
Dude.
404-726-0929. What was the snack growing up? And I was thinking more like supermarket snack, but that's fine too. But
Star Crunch.
Yes.
Hands down.
Chocolate Star Crunch. Yeah.
What's a Star Crunch?
It's a little Debbie snack. It's just pure deliciousness. It's got some Rice Krispie type substance in there and some caramel, a little bit of chocolate.
Dude, we're going to change this world.
I don't know what the hell
we're going to change
of.
This world.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll change my guys. A Yodel. The hell's a Yodel?
Dude, it's probably a Northeast thing. It's a chocolate.
Have you ever had a Moon Pie and RC Cola?
You
have it.
You know when I had an RC Cola when I didn't have a Moon Pie, but I was over at OK Cafe.
Yeah.
You know she got pissed off at Coca-Cola because of the politics, the woman who runs that? So you're at the most vetted place in Atlanta, OK Cafe, and they're like, no, we don't serve Coca-Cola anymore.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if they've gone back.
They had to go back, dude.
They serve RC Cola at OK Cafe.
I don't give a damn what your political views are.
I know,
a
dude,
Coke from McDonald's.
Well, you know it's a different syrup.
It is
the
a
Coke,
syrup.
And,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
They get a recipe at McDonald's.
You couldn't piss me off politically enough to pull that
right. Short of like a Nazi like a swastika, I'm still drinking my
Coke. I have my limit.
Right, but that'd be close. Yep. That'd be good. Plus, he's like, my Coke Zero, I don't care what you're
listen,
like.
My age, you're not changing me. Right. I don't care. I'm voting for who I want. You can vote for who you want.
He's like, listen,
Coke Zero on
Al-Qaeda or Coke Zero. He's like, I'm going to take Coke Zero right now.
We'll take you out later. Go running high. We'll get you later.
404-726-0929. Three strikes coming your way. So fill the phone lines. We were telling Bo, the recipe that Coke does in their fountain drinks at McDonald's is a different than anybody else because they're a bigger vendor.
Supposedly, it's a lifetime deal.
Right.
Nobody else can get it.
Right.
I mean, it's dead serious.
That's why
what
it
I heard.
Tastes a little bit different.
Yeah.
The fountain drink at McDonald's.
I pulled a 6-month stint at McDonald's at my very first job when I turned 15, and you're exactly right. The Coke that comes out of McDonald's fountain is absolutely addicting.
Yes.
All right.
Dude, Coke Zero.
Dude, the Coke Zero.
Sheesh.
I mean, I don't even, you know, I'll just take a, how big is big? Okay, bigger than that.
Yeah.
Coke Zero. Do it. Hey, let's start with Chief, because he's such a gentleman. Hey, Chief, good morning, sir.
What's happening, Chief?
You doing okay?
Yes, sir.
What's the album you've played more than anyone your entire life?
My favorite, Run DMC, King of Rock.
Damn good one, man. Damn good one.
How long is too long for you to do a drive?
8 hours.
Yep.
The cookie or snack that reminds you of childhood?
Oh, man, the oatmeal pie.
Oatmeal
the
pie.
Oatmeal little Debbie pie. That's right.
I like Chief already.
Thanks, buddy. All right, we need more phone lines. We got plenty of time.
Man, hit me a Run DMC and an oatmeal pie.
That's an A plus for you.
Oh, God, wheelhouse there.
404-726-0929. I want 7 lines. I will hammer through them.
Yep.
This is the way Rusty and I like to end our week. So show respect. If not to me, I may not deserve it, but certainly this fellow over here. 404-726-0929. You know you want to tell us, Brad, the album you have played more than any other in your life. What was it?
Outkast, Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Funky, Music for Your Trunk.
Mm. Just blow the speaker. This speaker's just blowing in the back. Just busted. You don't even care.
How long is too long a drive for you?
7 to 8 hours.
The Coke or snack that reminds you of childhood?
I got to stick with the Star Crunch, man. I completely forgot about it until y'all started talking about it.
You're going to be at Piggly Wiggly night, some small town, looking for a 12-pack of those, aren't you?
Yep.
Hey, Tinker, the album you've played more than any other.
Oh, and I got the proof on it, too, because I bought multiple copies because I kept wearing it out, and that's Metallica's Black Album.
Yep, good one.
How long is too long a drive for you?
Eight hours.
Yep.
The cookie or snack that reminds you of childhood?
I guess we're going to have to mark a number two spot because I'm going with Star Crunch as well.
Damn, Bo hit a point today, I'm telling you. I'm going to bring a box in next week. I got a Piggly Wiggly in Rome. I'm going by there.
Is the last one still open out there?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, when you go in there, his teeth are optional.
Hey, Alex.
Still good food, though.
The album you have played more than any other in your life. Alex, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Got you, Alex.
The album you've played more than any other.
Got to be Allman Brothers Live at the Beacon.
Mm. Yes, sir.
How long is too long a drive for you?
I've done a road trip to Colorado, so that took 28 hours.
Mm.
I mean,
That's definitely too long.
Come on. I mean, that was
some cool stuff, though.
The cookie or snack that reminds you of your childhood.
I'm with Bo on the Star Crunch.
Star Crunch, just like, if this was an election.
Sales are going up in the city of Atlanta. I guarantee you somebody's going to give me a box on the way home.
You're in people's head right now.
It's so good. I'm going to bring one next week.
Hey, good luck in
your world, man.
Good luck at you. Bring it. Will you bring it?
Yeah, I remember. I'll bring it next week. I'll bring a box.
Okay.
If I survive MVP camp on Sunday.
Yeah, good luck at MVP camp.
I need it, man. Appreciate it. Day-Day's son's coming.
Yeah, Carson will be there on Sunday.
Second session, afternoon session.
Nice, buddy. Yeah. Let's see how it goes. Give me some videos, Day-Day. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Day-Day. Welcome to town if you're in from Auburn, Michigan, Michigan State, or Ole Miss. Welcome to Atlanta. Enjoy Savannah Bananas this weekend. Go Hawks. Go Braves. Atlanta United playing over the weekend as well. And thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.